this year is before the Colorado reunion, a number of thoughts went through my mind concerning the particular day in which we live in. And I thought of the passage of Scripture found in Daniel when he mentioned it, a day of trouble. He placed his name upon it. And this thought concerned me by the various things that are transpiring, especially in the last 2 or 3 years. And I thought upon this, and also I thought if I should happen to preach at a Colorado reunion, that I would build a sermon around that particular item. But as it turned out, I didn't preach there. And at the Missouri reunion, I did have cause to preach along this line. And it was, I entitled the sermon I presented, The Time of the End. And I thought tonight to also preach along similar lines this evening, because I feel it is important that we are aware of the various things that will take place in a certain era of time. And I would like to read from the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, and I'd like to read the 36th verse concerning this particular time preceding and up to the coming of Jesus Christ. And it says here, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So the exact hour and day of the return of Jesus Christ in all his glory is not even known by the angels in heaven, neither is it known by Jesus Christ, but is known by the Father only. And as I read that a little earlier this afternoon, I thought, what a wonderful reference to show there is a Father and a Son. For Jesus Christ here is speaking, and he says, "I do not know about this, only the Father only." And he's the one that's doing the speaking in this particular instance. And then I'd like to go back to the 32nd verse and read two verses. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." And how true that is, from our children to we who have grown old in years and maybe gray hairs upon our heads. We know that this is a fact of life. There are certain things that happen in the spring that we know that spring is coming. And then we know as it proceeds on that summer is nigh. And this is what he said. This is something that you can relate to. "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things," and all we have to do is read the 24th chapter of Matthew, and maybe the 13th one of Mark, and the 21st one of Luke, and some in Daniel 12, and a group of the other prophets, and Paul, and some of these. We read these things, we can see what he's speaking about. "And when he shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." So he's pinpointing certain things here, that we might know when this thing will be. Exact hour, no. Only the Father only knows that. And I would like to turn now to the book of Zephaniah. And I would like to read from the first chapter and verses 14 through 16. Now, the prophet, it said here that the word of the Lord in the first verse came to Zephaniah. And so this is the word of the Lord. He is a prophet of old, and this was, according to the Bible days here, about 630 years before Christ. But he prophesied of a day way down in the future, a day of the coming of Christ. and the great day of the Lord. And let's read here. Now, this is like, some might say, well, here he's making this statement a way back then. But as I read on, we'll see he was referencing a day later than when he was given this statement. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. And hasteth greatly. You notice the way that's worded? It is near. It is near. And it hasteth greatly. In other words, it's going to happen rapidly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Another clue, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. And it has been for years that the mighty man might take trust in his strength. But it says the mighty man will cry there bitterly. And then we see the day that is pinpointing, this day that is near, it hasteth greatly. The day is a day of wrath. This is the type of day that will be. A day of trouble and distress. And so we have pinpointed here a type of the day. And I want us to think upon this and to analyze it a bit. A day of trouble. And I thought of the various things that are transpiring. And I thought of the events, especially of the last 2 or 3 years, and maybe more specifically, even this year. And we each are well aware, if we just but remember back a few years when things were a lot less complicated than they're becoming now. I mean, everyone here in this room, even the young, are aware of this fact. We could go back 5 years, and it wasn't nearly as complicated as it is today. There is uncertainty today in many things. There is illness today. There is affliction, and if it's been around, sure, since the beginning of time. But all we have to analyze is a few years ago, we might have a call to the Grand Junction local for special prayer. 1, 2, or 3 times a year, or 4 or 5. But now, we might have many in the course of a year. Sometimes more than one in 1 week. And all we have to do is analyze our recent Colorado reunion. And we had already set aside certain times to do certain things at a set hour. Like a song service. And things were so crucial at the last moment that we canceled the song service of a Saturday and had a special prayer service of one of our brothers and others in urgent, critical, crucial need. And this happened not once, but more than one time. And we had to have special training. And it seems as time has unfolded. In other places I've traveled, this has been this way. You never know what might take place next. And certainly, these prophets of old and several saw it as a time of trouble. And I want us to think upon that. And I don't want us to dwell solely upon the thing of illness and affliction among their members. Because also, there is uncertainty where our people and the peoples of the world work today. People are in turmoil, not knowing what will happen at the next moment. One returns from the Colorado reunion, and they're telling what a wonderful reunion we had. And telling people, and he was elated, he was lifted up by the reunion that took place at Colorado this year. And he went to work the following day and was told that his job was terminated. So that is a blow. A brother here's job was terminated recently. A time of uncertainty when things were once a lot more certain. When I talked to this brother in Independence, whose job was terminated, and still trying to get other employment. He had found employment, but he and his wife together, it requires that now for them to survive, both of them are making half what he did before. A day of uncertainty. And so we have prayed not only for the physical affliction, we pray for the illness of our people, but those who are uncertain because of their jobs. And others have voice here that are losing their jobs as well, or have lost them, or it is uncertain what will be taking place next. And this is happening in industry. So indeed, if we yield but open our eyes, it isn't like it always once was. And that is the thing. We have brought out this morning, there will be those who say, well, where is the promise of this coming? It's been like this always. And that's just false good. There are those who will say that, yes. It's been going on like this for years, some will say. But really? The incident of it hasn't been going on like this for years. And by this, I do not mean to infer this night that things will not increase. For I'm certain as I'm standing here that they will. And it said it will be a day of trouble, and it said it will be a day of distress. And before I finish this, I'd just like to turn over to the book of Luke and read this one that I and others in your ministry have read on many occasions, the 25th and the 26th verses. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations. Well, Zephaniah, over about 660 years earlier, approximately, said that it would be a day of distress. All right? Jesus Christ, and the reference in the book of Luke, says the same thing. And it said it would be a day of distress of nations with perplexity, which is uncertainty. And so this is a day of uncertainty. And that's why I thought earlier this year I had a desire to make us more aware of the time in which we live. And then it goes on to say another thing as well, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so how true it is, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, as well as these other things taking place. So I desire to present these things that we might be alert. But in all this tonight, I also wish to hold out hope for everyone, because it is important that we take time to serve God and His Son Jesus Christ and place our trust in them, for there is the strength to carry us through this time of trouble. This is a thing that can carry us across the gulf of darkness, that can place us on that straight and narrow path and keep us there, even the Word of God, even as Lehi saw referenced as the rod of iron. And then this reading goes on, not only a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation. That is the type of day, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. You know, Paul, in his writing in the book to the Ephesians, told of the importance of various things, the importance of placing our trust in God. And then he mentioned, though, we fight not against flesh and blood. But one of the things we fight against is the rulers of darkness, even the devil and the host of his enemies, as well as spiritual wickedness in high places. I believe that's a part of this day of darkness. Now, if we would but turn to the 30th chapter of the book of Ezekiel and read the first three verses, we would find another prophet entering in as a witness to this day. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, How ye your words today. Watch this day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. We mentioned over here a day of darkness, a day of clouds. See how these prophets, even though separated by some years, and incidentally, as this word is here, Ezekiel followed Zephaniah. And then it says, a cloudy day, it shall be the time of the heathen. And I believe certainly that the time of the heathen is here. Because many things in this world today are dictated by heathen nations. And a heathen, by one definition, is those who do not believe in the God of the Bible. There may be other definitions that you could place as well, but that's one that I did read in one dictionary one time. And there are a lot of nations who do not believe in the God of the Bible. Forceful nations, great nations. I would like to bring in one passage of scripture, and I won't turn to it. But it is the one in Daniel, the 12th chapter in the first verse, and I've just copied down a part of the verse. Concerning a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Now, a little later I will reference more of the verse, as well as verse 4 in the 12th chapter. But now I would like to turn to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I would like to read the 21st verse that Jesus Christ made this statement. For when he speaks of the time again at the end, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It will be a time unique in history, because it never will be one again like it once it's happened, and it never has been before. It didn't mean there wasn't trial in early life. There's been no since the beginning. But the incidents of them, the seriousness of them, will be great in that day. Before I read further here, I would like to bring in another writer, and that is the Apostle Paul in the 2 Timothy, and it's found in the 3rd chapter, and starting with verse 1. And he had this to say, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now he had a little different way of reading this, but he said, in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he mentioned the various things that would take place in that era of time. And I want you to notice the number one, because I feel it's significant. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I really believe that that has presented a lot of problems in the very time in which we live. It has presented a lot of problems at places of employment. Because man is so concerned with his getting ahead, no matter who he has to walk upon, to get to the end that he wants to be, that he does not have love for his fellow workmen. when I thought this afternoon how that scripture. A lot of them problems in employment is for this very thing, that men shall be lovers of their own selves and not concerned about their fellow beings. And the scripture plainly says that we're to love our Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and mind. And the second and great commandment is to love one's neighbor as yourself. So we don't go putting ourselves above our fellow beings. But all too often today, that's what is transpiring. And as time goes on, it's becoming more and more evident. If you will but open your eyes, you can see this. Not only at work, but in many other places. The attempt to excel in occupations, in sports, in a lot of things. Goes right back to this one thing here, that man is not concerned enough about his fellow beings. And I like this one passage of scripture, and I really didn't intend to read it. It's found in 4th Nephi, and the 8th chapter, and the 17th verse. And I'd like to read it, because it seems fitting that I read it at this time, because here was a people who arrived at a point above the ordinary status of man. They loved God with all their heart, and it says, and it came to pass that there was no contention in the land. There is contention upon the face of this earth today. And why was there no contention among those people? Because of the love of God which could dwell in the hearts of the people. And that is why, and we don't want to forget, some of these things that happened in the past, the love of God that would dwell in the hearts of people. So it goes, these on the perils of the last days is covetous, boasters, proud. And I'm not going to go into this because you could really preach a whole sermon on this particular chapter tonight. But we know and are well aware that two great nations fell upon this continent and the South American continent before us because of pride and being lifted up in pride. And it said here, one of the perils of the late last days would be those who would boast and those who would be proud and blasphemous and those who would be disobedient to parents. And the reverence for parents is not like it once was. And I'm not trying to downgrade the young when I make this statement. Fast is fast. And I'm not saying that there are young who don't have reverence for their parents, for there are those that do. But there are many that don't. Unthankful, and there's so many of them not thankful for what they have, unholy, without natural affection, peacemakers, false accusers, incontinent. And one of the great problems of our world today is the increase of immorality among mankind and womankind. Fierce and decisive that those are against traitors, and we all have read recently on various ones, he has sold his secret to another great nation, Russia. Traitors. And there's more traitors than that. Petty or violent, high-minded, and here is one that certainly is befitting of our day and our men see lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And then it goes on to say, and I won't elaborate on these because I think that we can open our eyes and see. We must take time to be holy. We must take time to be thankful. We must take time to pray. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such turn away. Now, does that sink in? Having a form of godliness. In other words, there will be people to do or religion to have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. I recently learned while in Independence, Missouri, when the Relations Committee of the Church of Christ, of which I am one of the members, met with the Relations Committee of the Reorganized Church. And they gave us one interesting piece of information that the fastest growing group today, or organization, I guess they labeled it, in America, religious-wise, is those who are not in an organized group. They're not denominational. That's the fastest growing group. It's those who believe in the Bible and in Christ and God, but they don't believe it as a denomination. And they said this is the fastest growing organization in religious circles today in the United States. And that is kind of a frightening statistic, because in this it says, and God has set what in His church? First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, non-bound to the health government, and all these various things that exist in the church. And that church is to be to the time of the end. We can read in the book of Daniel that in the days of these kings, who the God of heaven set up a kingdom, and it shall never be destroyed, and it shall not be left to other people. That was Christ's church. It is important in this day, as well as in any other day. I would like to turn back now to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the disciples, the apostles of Jesus, came to him and said, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And the number one thing he raised as a word of warning: take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. And the 11th verse says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." And in the 24th it says, "There shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall see great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, a lot of this, in the 24th verse especially, hasn't had its completeness. It may be starting. But certainly, the thing of deception is here today, saying that all you got to do is follow Jesus Christ. He is the way, and how true this is. He is the way and the only way. But it requires action. James says, by these works, faith without works is dead being alone. You must have them together. You must not forget these things. And then it says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you are not troubled, for these things have got to come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, there's been wars and rumors of wars, and the end is not yet. I'll see that it is. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." And Luke mentioned about great earthquakes. And he also mentioned, this is in the 21st chapter, if you want the reference, and verse 11, "And fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven." He worded it a little differently than the writer in the book of Matthew. Anyway, I analyze this particular statement. Certainly, kingdom is against kingdom, and famines and pestilences. When I thought of pestilences, and a lot of time I've been inclined to maybe more apply it to the insect world and things like this, but I find when I read the dictionary that more aptly it says disease, and then they mention like plague or the bubonic plague. But one dictionary I had after it said, and then it said the pest. So it is a little broader than just disease. It could be plant disease, it could be disease of people, and it could even include insects and things like that. Or I think it could include noxious weeds and things that destroy men's crops. Then I would like to read here, and I copied it down in fine print from Unger's Bible Commentary. And he said that in the Hebrew meaning of the word testament, he says it seems to have meant originally destruction. So it ties into another phase of it, destruction. And of course that could come by disease, it could come by insects, it could come by plants, weeds and things of this nature, a lot of things to prevent it. Several years ago, I clipped a clipping from Farmland Magazine. It has been my habit. Basically, things connected to agriculture concern me. And I thought of this particular one article. In fact, I've carried it around in my book for about 14 years, and finally I used it this year. So sometimes I'm going to throw these things away, and then I find how they fit our day. And the title of this is that we toil most at staying alive. More energy is expended on weeding man's crops than any other human endeavor. It says much of the world's population is in the fields every day, stooped, moving slowly, silently weeding. Some farmers in some areas of the world harvest 3 bags of weed seed to every one of rice. And it says whole families, men, women, and children, are out in the field from daylight to dark in much of the world. We don't know what that's like that way. It said, with little thought of education, all it is a thing of survival, enough to eat. And as I've called to mention lately, you can wear rags, you can put on all enough clothes to stay warm in the house without heat if you had to. But when it comes to food, you must have food for survival. And so that's why these people are trying to survive. And there's so many things, there's insects, there's weeds that are trying to destroy this thing of food that we desire. An article I read as well in Farm Journal of this year, in May of this year, was one entitled, Resistant Weeds. And in Kansas, there cropped up a weed called Cochia, as I pronounce it. I don't know, there might be a better pronunciation, K-O-C-H-I-A. And this one farmer on one large area there sprayed it. And I don't know if this is last fall or this spring, but it's real recently that it was done. And he sprayed an area with one of their weed killers, and it didn't seem to kill it, so they used another. And the next spring, he went in, or maybe he took too long in the spring, and he sprayed, and it didn't kill it, so he put on one he knew would kill it, and he says 10 days later, it looked like he had fertilized the plant. And it was taking his whole farm. And for now, he was really concerned. And why farmers use weed killers is because it's more economical to weed than it is to cultivate with today's crop. That is why. And in some instances, even cultivation won't kill certain weeds. So they've been required to do this. Many weeds have become resistant to various ones of these weed killers today. It is causing a lot of concern, and I could go on that, but I won't go any further. And then I read another article this year, shortly before our Colorado reunion, on resistant pests. And it said concerning those that are resistant to various insecticides and miticides that in 1938 there were 7 insects that were resistant. By 1967 it increased to 224, and in the year 1984 there were 447. And so it is a constant battle today. I think it is a thing that Christ accurately saw in Paul and Zephaniah and Ezekiel and different ones of our day. I think they saw these things. And even with all the modern insecticides, the insects still seem to be climbing. And they're very concerned that the resistant boll weevil will destroy the cotton crop of our nation and our world. And there are various other types of insects that have many concerns. I always brought out about the distress of nations. And the various things that would happen in a certain day. And I would like to read now from page 154 in the Book of Mormon. And this is found in verses 20 through 26. For the day shall come that the Lord God will secretly visit the inhabitants of the earth. And in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. In that day that they are ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, and this is the important thing, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But by the same token, if they don't repent, then come with others. But behold, that great and abominable curse, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth. And it says, great shall be the fall of it. It also speaks of over here earlier in this same, well, it's in 1 Nephi, concerning the time when this great and abominable curse would unite against the curse of the Lamb of God. And it will be only because the covenant people of the saints and the covenant people of the Lord, it will be because they will be armed with righteousness and the power of God and great glory that they will survive. That is why. And it says the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance. Or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chain. And it says, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men. And I want us to notice that it says he will rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And as brought out this morning, where is the promise of this coming? It's been like this always. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them carefully down to hell. These are plain words, but nonetheless, they are scriptures. We also have this verse used this morning, among others, in Amulek's words. Alma 16:2-19, and I won't turn to this one, but it says, yea, humble yourselves. And I believe here is the clue. For the day in which we live is humility and continuing prayer, and even as Amulek told the people of old, I would charge you tonight to humble yourself, to continue in prayer, to pray over your flocks, your crops, your occupations, to pray in your homes, in your houses, in your fields, in your wilderness. And then the last part, and pray against the power of your enemies and against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Now this summer, as I was doing some stunning and trying to pull off some very hail-damaged apples, I had a cause to do a lot of thinking. And I was concerned about the troubles that are taking place, the various things that are happening to our people and to the peoples of the world, and various things, and it was very hot and difficult conditions to work under, but this hit me with power, and I've mentioned this already to some of you. the importance of praying against the power of mine enemies. And I did pray more fervently against their power and against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Because the distress we have upon the face of this earth today, we can attribute to those of this nature. And this was impressed upon me so forcibly, the importance of every one of us praying against the power of our enemies, and regularly doing this, and praying against the power of the devil as well. Now, I mentioned that I would come back to the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, and this is found in verses 1 and 4. And it mentions here, it says, and they shall, I'm starting in the middle of a verse, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And I want to carry this thought a little further, a moment later. That verse 4 says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book. To when? Even to the time of the end. And then he says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. If we ever saw a day that man is able to run to and fro, it is today. And I would like to read two verses along that line from Nahum, the 2nd chapter, and verse 3 and 4. Because it tells, and again, I'll skip into the middle of a verse, it tells that the chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariot shall rage in the streets, they shall jostle one another in the broad ways, they shall sing like the torches, they shall run like the lightning. And that is certainly saying that it's our various vehicles of the day. And I thought too how rapidly man travels the face and the breadth of this earth. And it is so rapidly, it's almost beyond our comprehension. And then he also said, and knowledge shall be increased. And this was mentioned again earlier today. And I want to enlarge a bit further upon that, because certainly in the last few years there's been a terrific increase in knowledge. And I had this statement made concerning Brother Jensen's church. And early in his working career, he worked with computers. And the computers of those era of time required a whole building. So he said, it filled a building. They worked, but it filled a whole building. And today you can buy a computer that you can put on your desk that can do tremendous things. It says an advanced IBM personal computer handles 276,000 operations per second. Now that might seem like a tremendous figure to you. But the reason I mentioned this, there's been a great push today for the supercomputer to make this look like it's slow. 276,000 operations per minute, or second rather, per second. And there's been a great push, especially by two nations, the United States and Japan, to be able to arrive at the first real workable, and they already have one working. And they said this supercomputer will be able to operate in excess of 800 million operations per second. That's beyond our ability to even count. And with these supercomputers, they'll be able to design planes. Instead of taking years of wind tunnels and all this, they'll be able to design them in a matter of months. A workable new airplane. They have robots today that can accomplish things can even think and can talk and all types of things back to you. They've crawled around on the ocean floor, as you've read this week, and found the Titanic, a robot, over 10,000 or better feet below the surface. So it is a day of knowledge, if there ever was one. But it mentioned about thy people shall be delivered. It says in the book of Malachi, and this is the one I was working toward, all those that are found written in this book, those that fear the Lord, and this is in the third chapter, in the verses 16 through 18, those that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. So it is important to take that time for the Lord. And a book of remembrance was written before him that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serves him not. So to me, there is hope in these various passages of Scripture. We have one in 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter, on page 76. In verse 33, it says, the day soon cometh that all the proud, and it goes on to say, and the wicked, and they shall become a stubble. And then it goes on down here in this, wherefore, in verse 36, he shall preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. So it is important that we take time to serve the Lord. It is vital that we take time to serve the Lord. And it says, wherefore the righteous need not fear. So with all these things that are happening, it said in Luke it would be a day of great fear. But it says the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even so as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you, that these things must shortly come. And it said there would be blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And they will come upon the face of this earth that we're living upon. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh, if so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. And so how important it is that man repent, that behold, the righteous shall not perish. And I have caused to make this statement before. This does not mean that some will not have to lay down their life for the kingdom of heaven's sake, that their salvation would be sure. Along the line of the book of remembrance and this, and also of the importance of being a part of it, turning a little further in this same reading, in the 55th verse, it says, the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves as a stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he goes on to say, there will be one fold, and there will be one shepherd, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him. Why would they know him? Because they followed him. Because they took time to be holy here. Because they took time to serve the Lord. Because he can carry us through the days that lie ahead. No matter how serious they might be, he can lift us up in the time that yet lies ahead. And there will be one fold and one shepherd, and he will feed his sheep, and they shall find pasture. And then it says, because of the righteousness of his people, Satan has no power. And it goes on to say he can't be loosed for many years. And that will go right into the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And the reason for all this is because they dwell in righteousness. And the last verse says that, behold, all nations in 64, kindred, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel, if it so be that they will repent. Now I have one other last verse I'd like to turn to in the book of Psalms. In the 37th Psalm, and have us think upon this. In verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 39 and 40. That the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So remember that verse in the days ahead. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him.
When it is 7 o'clock, we'll have prayer service. Your code is number 88. Number 88. Another flag.